Can you hear me?
Yep.
I think I need another earphone because I'm hearing this tapping noise in my ear. Are you hearing it?
No.
Okay. We're not recording all. Oh,
we definitely are.
Right, welcome. We are now on episode 3, and you're here with Dice
and Shay,
and we're the Chatty Patties.
Chatty Patties.
And this week, our topic is going to be parents' expectations versus reality. So, being so that both of us have kids, we are definitely very knowledgeable in this department. So, we know that a lot of times we project our wants and what we expect our children to be and what we want them to fulfill, whether it's us living through our kids or whatever. But we just wanted to go over that and discuss that this week. Also, we're going to tie it in with some of our favorite shows and maybe some shows that you guys watch or not or whatever. But I know growing up, there were certain things that my parents expected of me. It was not an unspoken rule. It literally was put out there. Like, around those school age years, I better get good grades and stay the hell out of trouble. My teenage years was more, all right, you need to graduate high school and work on getting some scholarships to go to college or the military. So those were my two options. They were like, you going to college or you going to military? But you're not about to sit up in my house.
And then the fuck out.
Yeah, you getting the fuck up out of my house. And I'm the youngest. So they was just like, you got to do something with your life. And in adulthood, if I was to go into college, they would want me to graduate college, obviously, and then go on to have a good career and way future. They was like, all right, and eventually, I guess, find you a good husband. So I wouldn't say that my parents were too hard on me as far as what their expectations were, because I feel like, you know, they were fairly reasonable, and I was hard to believe. I was actually a really good kid. So let me explain good. I was a good kid because out of that list of expectations, I literally hit everything on the fucking list. So I'm pretty fucking lit. As my siblings, maybe they missed a few, but
does that mean that you were a good kid though?
I met their expectations, and I'm sure in their older age I'm exceeding it right about now. So did I have a smart ass mouth?
Were you Kylie the original?
Look, I had a sassy mouth. I'm not even going to lie, I talk back, but I feel like my dad unconsciously supported that behavior because he laughed and he thought this shit was funny. And so I was
encouraged it.
Yes, I'm a daddy's girl, so daddy laughing and the jokes must be funny. Let's keep it rolling. My mom, she was not finding none of that comical. Like, literally, we had a strained relationship up until I left to go to college. So she did not bang with me until I was gone. So,
so she will probably not agree with the statement that you were a good kid. I'm just saying.
Okay, so let's say that good is relative, okay?
I'm just saying.
But I could have been totally worse. I could have been getting into fights all through school. I could have been hooking school, getting Fs and stuff. I could have, like, dropped out and got my GED. I could have, like, not went to college, not went in the military. And, yeah, I could have just, like, not got everything on their list. But I feel like in life, you're never going to have a perfect kid. So you shouldn't expect perfection. So, I mean, something's got to be bad. So if it's my sassiness, then I would take sassiness over the rest of the shit on the list.
Yeah, but I think, well, my attitude aside, I do think that parents have expectations, and not because they want a good child, but because they want their child to have a better life than they had.
Hey, I can agree with that.
So,
I definitely can agree with that, because I know for my expectations for my children, I don't think, because times have changed, and so the wants and the specific wants that my parents wanted, I don't think I'm going to be as specific with them. I just know I want them same around that school age. I want them to get good grades. So that's kindergarten all the way through 12th. Like, we not getting no C's. Like, you're going to, it's some explaining to do if we get in C's and below. I need to know why so we can get you a tutor or talk to some teachers. We need to know what's going on. So I know I want them to do good in school. I'm lenient about the college thing because as a college graduate and the amount of student loan debt that I am in, I would not freaking be mad if they were like, I'm not with the college shits. But at the same time, they have an amazing grandmother and my mother in love, as we refer to each other, is actually, she set up a college fund for them. So they won't necessarily have to be as far in debt as I am. And hopefully, you know, depending on whether it's academics or sports or whatever, that, you know, they get some scholarships. So hopefully they don't go down the debt road that I did. But one thing, I'm not fucking with the military. I'm adamant about, even though I was like literally 2 seconds from being in the freaking military, I'm not allowing it for my son or my daughter. So why? I hope everything that I went through, I'm not with it. Like, going through the whole process, I was in JROTC in high school. I was in ROTC literally almost all through college. I went through the officers training camp. Like, I was literally a semester away from being a commissioned officer, and all fucking hell broke loose. And I just don't want my kids to go through this. I know people that are really close to me that are in the military, and I just don't want it for my kids. Like, we can figure something else out. Like, no.
It's free college.
I mean, it's free college for some other things too. Like, if you get straight A's, you can get an academic scholarship, and that can be free college. You can, if you're good in a sport, you can get a college for that. You can write a bomb essay and apply for some private scholarships, like anything. But me personally, I will not be directing them in that direction. But if they want to go to some type of trade school, I'm with that. Like, to get a license in something like that doesn't necessarily require a college education, whether it's like IT, right. I don't know, some type of trade that they are really passionate about and they're serious about. I'm not talking about I don't even know if they still have Job Corps, but like, you ain't about to go to something like, I'm about to go to this joint and get this license and I'm about to cut hair. Not that there's anything wrong with cutting hair, because you can make loot, and I actually wish that I could cut hair, because that would be a bomb hustle.
What's wrong with that?
But I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with that. So I don't want y'all to think that I'm down in barbers, because they make more money than I do probably. So I just want them to go in a direction that they love and that they can be successful in. I don't want them to be in a career where they feel like they're stuck because they have to have that job and that they're unhappy. Ooh, their mom. But and then also later on, I want them to start a family. I want them to try their darndest to stay out of the children making department in their 20s. And that's because...
So you have expectations for like them having a family and all that?
Yeah, I mean, my parents did too. They didn't want me to, you know, get married and get locked down too serious too young, because I swear, like, they didn't like any of my boyfriends. Like, they like my high school boyfriend, but like, they really wasn't fucking with none of my boyfriends like that. Like, because I think, like, in their mind, we were too serious and I was too young. So I just think that they was just like, look, just get your career together and like worry about these dudes later.
Oh, I get that part. I thought you meant, for me, as far as my daughter is concerned, I don't feel like I've placed expectations on her, but apparently I have. Oh, yikes. Because this year she got all A's.
Yes.
First, second, and fourth quarter. Third quarter, she got all A's and one B, and the B was like an 89.5. And she was crying because she was like, I just feel like I disappointed y'all. I wanted to get all A's this year, and da da da. And I was like, but who asked you to get all A's? Like, I'm not mad that you have all A's, but like, my only thing was like, I'm not doing no D's or no F's. And right. You can maybe get like one C in school year.
It just depends. Some, like, we need to talk about why.
Right. But like, I don't
Did you ever have a conversation with her about academics? Maybe whatever talk you had, she really took it to heart.
I just was like, I'm not with no, I'm definitely not doing D's and F's. We're not doing that at all. And I was like, and C's to me is average. So I could see, like, if you're struggling in one subject and you get a C in that, mm-hmm. we can work on it. Like, I know when we went to California, she was struggling in math. And I think she got a C one quarter, but I got her a tutor and then she ended up with an A. So, like, we could work it out. I'm not saying you can't get a C at all. But I also wasn't like, you have to have all A's, and if you come home with a B, it's the end of the world. Right. My only thing is, if I look at your grades and you don't have good grades because, like, you're just not doing work, that's a problem. Because she definitely, like, towards the end of the school year, not last school year, but the school year before then, she was getting cocky with it because she had good grades. So, like, towards the end of the school year, she just stopped turning in work.
Oh, she was chill. Like, I mean, she was doing the math. Yes. Like, I could fail this, yeah. this, and still get this bag on B, honey.
I was like, no, we're not doing that because that's how, once you get in that mood, once you get in that mode, like, it's kind of hard to break. Right. And when you feeling like, oh, I got so many A's this quarter, I can skip this. Like, no, that's not a good little mindset. So, as far as her grades are concerned, I don't feel, I mean, I guess that is an expectation I placed on her, but her dad was saying that she was talking to her stepsisters and mm-hmm. they were talking about their future, and the girls were saying they weren't going to college. They were just like, nah, I'm not going, da, 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 da. And Mara was like, oh, well, I'm going. I don't have a choice.
I know that's so, right. But, oh, she said she didn't have a choice?
Yeah, but that's, again, another one of those things where I definitely didn't. My ass got pregnant with her in college, so how am I tell her that she has no choice when, so basically when she said that, he told me that, I was just like, I really need to finish. So I'm back in school now.
Yes, babe.
And more debt because I can't sit here and hold her. I can't be like, oh, you got to go to college if I don't go to college, because I'm already fighting with her now about, like, she wants to have kids when she's like 25. And I'm just like, dog.
We right. still, not we, because I'm way past that, but you still living the life at 25. Like, no, no, no.
Well, like, I had a kid at 25. So
I know, but with your experience, yeah, like, you're able to be like, nah, that's not what you want. Like, even though kids are a blessing, and we're not condoning anybody who has had a child in their 20s, but that's like prime lit turn up, fun, enjoy yourself, find yourself. You don't even really know who you are in your 20s. Like, in my 20s, I thought I knew who I was, and I'm literally a totally different person. Friends that I've had from when I was a teenager to 20s to now, like, I'm sure I was three different people in their mind. Like,
man, like, I told her, I was like, I legit didn't even feel like an adult until I was 27.
Right.
She was like, for real? I was like, yeah, like, I feel like at 27, I finally was like, yeah, I'm grown. Like, who the fuck is going to tell me anything? I think before then, I was saying that out of my mouth. But it's just like, you know, when you turn 18, you're like, I'm grown now. I'm 18.
Nah, not even a piece. But that's about it.
You can enlist, but that's it. So
I literally didn't feel like an adult until I was 30. And that's because I got married. Like, I still felt like a kid. Like, I was
27 when I got married, so that's probably
why. Yeah, marriage was like, I'm grown. I was grown now. Oh, we up here being Egypt on growing up hip hop. Like, I want to be an adult. Yeah, I know.
No.
I know.
No.
That's, we going to get there. We going to get there. Because, honey. But, yeah, I just know that we want better for our kids. So, like, even with you with saying, like, you feel the pressure, or you feel like, okay, now I need to go ahead and go back and finish college because I can't hold my daughter to this standard. If I didn't, I don't think she would look at it like that. And
yes, she will, because of the baby. Yes, because when I'm like, you should not have a baby in your 20s, you have one in your 20s. And I'd be like, nigga, that's why I'm telling you firsthand. Like, it's nothing worse than trying to find yourself as a woman, trying to, you know, I feel like your 20s is just for the fuck ups. You're gonna fuck up your money, your credit, mm-hmm. your friendships, your relationships,
right?
Like I said, try to figure out who you are. But you add a life to that. Do you know how stressed I was in my 20s? No, nigga, you do know. You were there.
Yeah.
I was super stressed. Like,
for sure.
No, that was not fun. And I think a lot of it had to do with, like, I would look at some of my friends who might have been going through the same things financially, but they could just up and get another job and it would be nothing, or they could just go back to live with their parents and it was nothing. But like me, I never had to, like, even if I went and got another job, I had to make sure I had a babysitter and I had mm-hmm. to do this and do that. So mm-hmm. like, shit was rough. And when I don't have an expectation for her as far as like, if she wants to have a family or she doesn't, that's on her. My only thing is, I told her I would like for you to be married, mm-hmm. happily married before you have a kid, mm-hmm. because who you're with when you're 20 probably ain't gonna be who you with when you're 30.
Church.
happily married, because you can be married and not be happy, and nobody wants to be stuck in that situation. But just be more established. I'm not saying I have all my shit together now, but I mean, I did.
Right.
I
so
we do more than 10, 12, I was about to say, how many years ago.
Looking at where I was in my 20s and now, I'm definitely more established. I mean, I would hope so. and I just want the same or more for my kids. I mean, like, if they end up being like Mark Zuckerberg or something and they get it popping at like 21, then hey, do you, baby, start that family at 23 if you want to, because you can afford it. But, you know, I just want them to live their life and experience and do a whole bunch of stuff and live it and make the mistakes, like you said. It's really difficult to make those mistakes when you got a family depending on you. Like, all right, ma, like, I need you to turn down from brunch and day parties and come home and change these diapers. So, you know, so it brings me to the question, what happens when your expectations of your kids are not met? And then what happens when things go differently or we struggle to help our kids through these expectations? So I know for us, our children are younger, so we don't have any adult children to be like, all right, I messed up on this part, the trial and error, and then this is how they turned out. So we're not fortune tellers, so we can't really say what's going to happen in the future. But I guess we can kind of talk about like how we would feel if maybe those expectations that we kind of, even if we haven't verbalized them to them, what we have in our head for what we want our kids to be. Like, what if they don't meet them?
Well, here's the thing. I don't recall having a conversation about college with her. Mm-hmm. But now that she has put out there that she has no choice, I'm rocking with it.
You like, no all choice. Right.
That's what we're doing. So for me, I feel like for me as a parent, I'm going to do everything I can do to facilitate those expectations. And right now, my only expectation is that she gets good grades and that she's a genuinely nice person. Those are the only expectations that I have for her, because my daughter's an asshole.
Look, that is why I deep sigh because I'm like, even though Maya is young, like, her behavior is not.
It's her behavior not well with you or others, because what I'm saying is like I know that I've taught my daughter that if you, like, for instance, let's say me and you are walking in the house and we both got a ton of bags in our hands, I expect for my daughter to hold the door open for us, because not only are we adults, but we have freaking handful of bags
to be considerate.
This little jerk will dead ass walk in the door and just keep going. And then when you be like, what the fuck? She'll be like, oh, my bad, I forgot. Or I wasn't paying attention. Like, but I know I have taught her better than that.
Right.
And so that's what I say when I'm like, just be like a genuinely nice person or genuinely considerate person. Like,
how do you even teach that? Because I need some pointers, because I'm telling you, like, my daughter, like, oh my gosh, like, she's a jerk and she don't care. And she plays the I'm innocent role. But like, we know that little one there. yes, she's not innocent. So I don't know how to teach that. Like, I've also realized that my daughter's personality is not, I don't see that it is aligned with kind of like how I was when I was younger. I've always mm-hmm. been, for the most part, outspoken. I never had to deal with anybody bullying me or like me not standing up for myself. But it seems like my daughter is kind of not that type. She's not shy per se, but she doesn't really handle conflict well, and she'll let other kids run over her. And I'm not expecting her to be out here like swinging on people, because I definitely don't want that. But like, if somebody takes something from her or does something to her, like, I literally, like, she'll come and tell me, and I literally have to coach her through it and be like, well, no, you have to do X, Y, and Z. Did you talk to the teacher? Well, then you need to say, no, give me my stuff. Like, I don't like that. Don't do that to me, blah, blah. And actually coach her through it. But she doesn't seem like the type that likes confrontation or would want to kind of stick up for herself. So I'm hoping that she grows out of that, because that's a life skill that I really, really, really want her to have. Because I see so many people, I saw so many people growing up that maybe they were teasing. That's a whole nother topic of how kids are way more sensitive now about stuff. But like, people would get teased and like they wouldn't speak up for themselves. And me, like, I'm not even the one getting teased. I'm just like, well, why don't you say something? If you don't like them talking to you like that, just say something. Just be like, I don't know, you ugly. Get out of my face with your funky breath. Like, say something. Like, but see, if you're not saying anything, like, they're going to keep messing with you. So I just, maybe that's an expectation I have low-key that I haven't verbalized to her, but I just want her to be able to stand up for herself.
So I feel like my daughter's on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, she's not, I won't say she's a bully, but I will say that, like, she'll tell me, like, oh, there was drama at school today. And she'll tell me, and it's like, shit, that could have been avoided, because she just jumped out there and got upset about something that wasn't that deep. And then, like, once she took a second and, like, really went through whatever happened, she's like, oh, I can see why that might be that way.
Your daughter is a Leo, so I feel her. Yes. Everyone, my birthday's tomorrow by the time you guys hear this. It will already be past my birthday. But I understand and I feel your daughter's pain. She's a Leo, and we lash out. We lash out before we think. I do it a lot. I've gotten better at my older age. And I'm not saying that it's an excuse. Mm-mm. I'm not giving her a pass. But we're very impulsive with certain things. When something happens, we lash out before we think. It's plenty of times where I lash out and I'm like, damn, that was so extra. Like, why did... they didn't even mean it like that. Or like, you was way too much in your feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, why you cussed them out? Like, I feel her.
What's my other expectation? I want her to be able to handle criticism well, because I don't feel like my mom handles criticism well. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I do. I feel like it's better than my mom. So I'm just hoping with her is better than us.
Right.
Right now, she's leaning more towards my mom's side of the world, but I blame that on her being a Leo, because my mom is one as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Bash Leo. Bashing Leos during Leo season, I guess. I guess that's why not. All right.
Why not?
I think a lot of times we just, maybe we focus too much on what we want our kids to be or become, but we also gotta, I guess if we kind of find ourselves getting too carried away with it, maybe we need to look and be like, I mean, was I everything that my parents wanted me to be? Like, who am I? I mean, we want our kids to be better, but like, was we checking all the boxes? Like,
well, so here's my thing. My expectations for her are more personality based than they are like how I want her life to look. Like, she tells me all the time that she wants to be famous. Now, I feel like it's weird, because I feel like anybody can be famous, especially nowadays, but I don't feel like being famous is sustainable mm-hmm. for a lifetime. A lot of people become famous and then they're forgotten.
Especially this day and age, where you can be internet famous like off of nothing super quick.
Exactly. So I feel like what I'm trying to do is just what can I say? How am I trying to say this? Crap. Anywho, I feel like I get it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to cultivate her interest. For instance, she said that she wants to bake. So she's been watching all these kid baking contest shows. Mm-hmm. And I got them recorded on the DVR. And so, like, we'll make cupcakes together. And we're going through these recipes. And because I know that she wants to be famous, I'm like, Mara, you know there are famous bakers. So, because what I tell her all the time is, like, you don't want to be internet famous. Right. You don't want to be famous for 2 seconds and then you end up a joke or you just a meme.
Right.
Like, if you want to be famous, you got to have a skill. I was like, like I said, it's a lot of people that popped up. They was popping for 2 seconds. And where they at now? So, like, now she's about to join the band. So, I've been showing her videos of, like, people who went on to play in amazing bands. Like, look at Beyonce's all-girl band that plays behind her.
And if you want to go to college, you can definitely get a scholarship for band.
Exactly. And then I show her some of, like, the HBCUs and their bands and how they be going off or whatever.
And they are lit.
So, right. So I'm like, okay, you want to be famous? Cool. I have my reservations about it, but it is what it is. I know that you're a smart girl. So if you are telling me that you like to draw, okay, bet. So now I'm going to show her famous artists and I'm going to put her in classes to expand on that or whatever. So I don't feel like I have like a life. I don't have her life in my mind. I can't envision it. I just want her to, right now, like I said, get good grades, be a nice person, grow up, and not struggle the way that I struggle. Right. And I'm going to be here to make sure that she doesn't.
I really think that's a good approach because I feel like if we put too much pressure on them, then it could kind of backfire. You know what I mean?
Like with me and my parents.
How you doing? Right. And sometimes you can cause a kid to rebel because they don't feel like they're living their life. They're living the life that their parents want for them. So, like, maybe that is really a good plan of action to be like, look, you tell me, what do you want to do? And mommy and daddy, we're going to help you get the roadmap to get to where you want to be. If that's, like you said, you want to be a professional baker, well, guess what, babe? We're about to be in this kitchen. We're going to be doing recipes by the book, so you know, like classic recipes. We also gonna let you experiment. What do you think gonna taste good? And you know what, I'm gonna have some of my friends over so they can taste the joint, prepare your craft. Well, let me show you about the business side of it so that you can have something to fall on and you know you're not getting got. Like, so that's like really tight. Like, you're being more supportive, I could say, because I read this article. And it's a little lengthy article, but I'm just going to kind of breeze over it that I saw online on like independent.com or something like that. And basically, it was saying that about 10 or 12 things that all parents that were raising successful kids, it was actually a scientific study that all of them have certain traits of these parents who kids went on to, whether they were, you know, they went to be a successful kid or like when they grew up, they were successful. It was like small things that we might think is small, but like it helped to cultivate them to have a certain foundation to like have the tools to be successful. Like having chores, it teaches them responsibility and letting them know that pitching in can help the bigger picture. And, you know, just a small action, if everybody puts in, it helps the quality of life of everybody. Teaching your kids social skills, you know, how to talk to people, how to not be rude, how to be, you know, respectful to adults. And one of them was actually to have high expectations, because if the parents are just like, I mean, I don't really care, like, then what's going to motivate the kid to be like, well, I mean, if my mom don't care, like, then I can be out here, like, whatever, it doesn't matter. So just letting them know, like, you know, you're an amazing kid and I expect you to do great things. Like, you're not about to be out here slumming and bumming. Like, you're going to be amazing. You speak it into existence. Also.
Okay, and that's a good point, though. The way, because at first I was like, well, no, because I know growing up, my father's expectations were, to me, they were more rooted in, like, you better not F up, or you better not disappoint me, or, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like maybe, like, some of the expectations that my daughter feels comes from just how proud I am when she does achieve things.
So she likes that feeling of you being proud of her.
Right. So when she's like, oh, because I guess she saw how excited the family was when she got all A's. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, when she got the 1B and she starts crying and she starts talking about disappointing us, and we're looking at her like, first of all, none of us had all A's in school. Especially not her father. Especially not him. So I was the smart one. But no, like, I think having the high expectations mm-hmm. are great, but it's the way that they are communicated to the child. I think that's what's most important. If you're coming at your child like, you better, right. or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you have to. And I don't even think, because like I said, I haven't really communicated a lot of the expectations because my daughter is so young that I have in my head. But like you said, how you communicate them, if you just, you know, how you say it, like, you know what? I expect you to do great things. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're a smart girl. So, like, you should get good grades. Like, mommy doesn't want to see anything, you know, X, Y, and Z. Like, not, like you said, like you sounded like a drill sergeant. Like, what you talking about? You going to come in here with straight A's? Or you going to be doing blah, blah, blah? Like, it's the delivery and not making them feel like I have no choice. Even though she's feeling that way, she's come to that conclusion. It's not like my mom literally told me I have no damn choice. Like, I have to go to college. I have to get these straight A's. So that's definitely.
So I think that all of that is great when it comes to like your grades and your personality. But my child is approaching preteen years or teenage years or whatever you want to call it. Now I have to direct my energies in other directions. For instance, this past weekend, when we were at the hotel, mm-hmm. I had went to go get an omelet, and I come back and I see her looking somewhere in the distance. So I turn around, it's a little boy. So I was like, what you looking at? She was like, oh, I was just looking at the door. I was like, all the doors? That's not funny.
Look, she not even smooth with it.
Like, door. Not at all. I was like, and it was the embassy suite. So, you know, like the inside, you could see all the freaking rooms from the middle of the lobby.
Right,
so
right.
So I was just looking like, I said, so you was looking all the way over there for the door when it's the door right over there.
Right.
She was like, yeah, I mean, I just happened to look over there. I was like, what, the door happened to have on a red shirt? Ooh. She was like, Mom. But so she was being all bashful. But then later on, we're back in the lobby. And I was like, oh, there go the door right there. That's the door you was looking at earlier today, right? She was like, Mom. I said, no, you was looking at the door, right? So then she was like, well, I mean, I think that door is really cute. So I was like, in my mind, I'm like, so she is just not even going to sit here and keep pretending that she was looking at doors. Like, now she's just like, oh, we BFFs. Let's talk about doors. Like, to the point where I had changed the subject. She was like, I want to go back to talking about boys. And so I was like,
well, you open that door and that communication, and which is a good thing, because I know, and for me, we would rather, even if it's uncomfortable for us, we would rather them tell us everything than they have a secret life, which all kids are going to have a secret life that it's going to be a part of their life that parents don't know about, which scares the hell out of them. Look, what you thought she was going to say when you kept bringing up the door? She was going, she know you ain't stupid. She know, especially when you say the door with the red shirt. She's like, oh,
well,
man.
She shouldn't have played with me from the jump. Talking about some damn door. I'm like, girl, what?
You know she young. She girl. her perfect. She hasn't perfected
her
playing
line.
It off. Yeah, she still got some years to work on that. But yeah, she not good with the finessing yet.
Well, so I know as a kid, like I feel like my father, for instance, he didn't too many. I feel like I got good grades and it was just expected. Like, it was an unspoken thing for me to get good grades. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like they put any pressure on me for that. But I tell you one thing that they definitely had expectations for on my father, at least, was I was, like, not supposed to be talking or dating. Like, you know how you hear, like, dudes will say, I don't want my daughter dating until she's 30. Mm. Like, I did ask her. Like, that's what my father thought. Wow. And it just... I will say I love my father to death, but I feel like he pushed me towards boys more than if he would have just been chill with it, because it was just like,
it made you more curious because he was so like off limits, and you was just like, well, why?
Yes, and then not even that, but like, he wouldn't ask me things. He would kind of come at me, like accusing me. Like, for instance, my brother, everybody used to come to our house or whatever. So I remember, this is before I even like had my first kiss.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, my father was taking me back to my mom's house. And he was just like, so what's up with you and such and such? You know, I heard like, X, Y, like you, like on some sexual type stuff. And I was like, huh? He's like, yeah, that's what I heard. And I was like, nah, you ain't hear that about me? Because I haven't done that. And so instead of being like, well, guys will make up rumors about you, this is what you can do. I mean, well, it's nothing really you can do to stop a rumor. But instead of asking me how I felt about the rumor and stuff like that, I kind of felt like he believed it. And he was just like, well, you know, you could tell me if it was.
Instead of really asking you.
I get that. But it's not.
But I'm letting you know that's not the case. Right.
So, and like that kind of went on for so long that I literally lost my virginity because I was tired of being accused of not being a virgin. And I was just like, all right, well, let's see what this non-virginity is hitting for. And that's why I lost my virginity. I ended up not having sex again for a long time, but... That's why I lost my virginity, because I was just like,
you're like, if I'm a, son, you like, well, if I'm a keep being accused of it, then like, let's go. Game time.
Yikes, yeah. Sucks.
Mental note.
and so from there, it was just for me, it was just a lot of expectations when it came to boys. And it was crazy for me, for my father to place all these expectations on me, while at the same time, I was discovering all this stuff about him. And so I'm like, you're the nigga that you're telling me not to hang out with. Like,
you're like, we're being a little bit hypocritical, Dad.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I always.
Maybe it was
like,
just, go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
Whenever I'm having a conversation with her, I'm always just like, I may have done this, but this is why I'm telling you not to. Like, because this is. This was the consequences of that happening, and these were the consequences of some of my friends when they did the same thing. And I'm not, you know, you're going to live your life, you're going to do what you want to do, but if I could take it back, I would. That's kind of how I try to
verbalize that.
That's my approach with her. My dad was just like,
maybe your dad was trying to do the same thing, but he just didn't have the smoothness with the communication part, because I'm sure he knew, like, I'm not the type of dude that I want my daughter to be with. So, look, just stay away from these dudes. Don't do it. Don't think about it.
Just stop being that dude. My thing is, like, if you're going to have... You cannot have unrealistic expectations and still be doing the thing that
you
don't want
your kid to do. You have to change your behavior
and
be more of a role model. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm a perfect parent, but if I see something, for instance, when my daughter vocalized that she felt like she had no choice but to go to college, okay, I don't know where she got that from, but now I got to make sure that at least one of her parents has a degree.
Right.
So let me go and finish, get my degree, so that when it does come a day where I feel like, you know, I really think you should go to college, she can't come back and be like, bitch, you didn't go.
You'd be ready to fight. You'd definitely be ready to fight. So I know we see. Go ahead.
And so.
No, you're fine. Because you finished your story. I was definitely about to move on.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. So, like, with my father, or even with my mom, like, my mom, she had her expectations were crazy too. Because, like, she wanted me to go to college. And, like, that was a no, like, she wanted me to go to college. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. And so when I finally got accepted to these colleges, a lot of them were in Virginia. One of them was in North Carolina. And then I was waitlisted for one in Atlanta. So when I told her I had got accepted to the ones in Virginia, and there was one in particular I wanted to go to, she was like, oh, well, you should have stayed living with me in Virginia, then you could have got in-state tuition. So I'm not helping you pay for college.
But I was like, you wanted me to.
So student loans off top. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm going to place an expectation on my kid, I'm not just going to be like, this is what I expect from you. But then as soon as you turn whatever age or, you know, whenever that situation is presented, just be like, okay, this is what I expect. Figure it out. Like, right. I'm going to help facilitate it. So if college is an expectation I'm going to place on you, then I'm going to make sure that you're not going into it with a whole bunch of debt, and that we do things so that you can get the scholarships, put you in the right programs, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, to get you looked at and picked up and so on.
I think
and so
a lot
forth.
Of our parents, they did that because I feel like my dad kind of did that. And I think that expectations were good, but they just didn't. The communication and the execution wasn't as good. Because my dad told me, my senior year in high school, when you go away to college, make sure you don't fuck up your credit. Don't fuck up your credit. So I'm just like, all right, I'm not going to fuck up my credit. This is me going to college at the time I was 17, I got down there doing registration. I had just turned 18 during registration. So in my mind, credit is credit cards. That's all I thought credit was my dad said, don't fuck up my credit. So like when they got the little tables, like, yo, you want to get a credit card for free, just sign up this application, which that is trifling as hell that they do that, but they definitely have them on the college campuses, especially for the damn freshmen. And I was like, nope. Bing bonk, my dad said to watch my credit. But I did go to the Sprint table and be like, let me get the cell phone. I did go over here and be like, oh, dang, gotta go to the hospital for emergency visit. Gotta pay that little copay. Like, it was so much stuff that wasn't explained to me that credit is way bigger than just a credit card. So when I graduated from college, they was like, man, you had a hard life in college, didn't you? Look at your credit. I was like, I ain't had no credit cards. They was like, oh, yes, but you definitely got a cell phone from every carrier that you didn't pay for. You definitely went to the emergency room a couple times.
I think that's just Black people, though, because I've talked to so many people who say that their parents didn't talk to them about credit. My father sat down and talked to me about credit when I was 8 months pregnant. And I was I 8 months pregnant? Was she 8 months old? No. Not 8 months pregnant. Oh. She was 8 months because at that point I had already gotten a credit card because I got it for her first Christmas because I was like, I'm balling out. It's my baby. In hindsight, it's dumb as shit.
But we don't know like, when we younger.
Her first Christmas was like 4 or 5 months and she was just looking at the
I'm about
toys,
to drool
like,
on this joint.
What are we doing? Right. So, but yeah, by the time we had the conversation, I had already had a credit card, already maxed out one. I probably was on my second one. So, like, I don't think anybody is sitting down talking to their kids about credit. I know that I am because I was struggling a lot having her. So, I have, like, a little savings kid folder thingy. And
yeah, I definitely want my kids get old enough to kind of understand that. Because mine doesn't even know the difference between cents and dollars yet. But when she gets to that point, that's definitely going to be a discussion because I feel like my dad had a good thought, but the execution, the explanation, it wasn't all the way, it didn't go through. So it was kind of lost in translation. And I know we see a lot of people, like in the media, that I'm sure parents have this, like, because they've been so successful doing stuff or, like, they have certain values that you would think like their kids would kind of, you know, also follow suit or their parents would have those type of views for them. Like watching Growing Up Hip Hop in Run's house, Rev Run, you know, I mean, Mr. Joseph Simmons, the practicing master, you know, he has what? It's five of them. So it got Angela, Vanessa, JoJo, Diggy, and
look,
Cougar.
He's
young as hell. He is cute. And what's the other one? Rusty. So, they adopted.
Didn't they have a baby?
It was named Miley. They adopted a little girl. Yeah.
You know they have a show.
Is it about the one that they redoing their house?
I don't even know. I just happened to see the trailer yesterday. And I was like, well, these are not their kids. So I guess they're acting.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Because I know they did have a show after Rev Runs where, like, I guess all the kids had moved out except Rusty and Miley. I want to say her name's Miley, the little girl that they adopted. But they were, like, basically the show was about... No, I don't think that was on Netflix. Maybe it was, like, on HGTV. I'm not sure. But they were basically renovating their house because, like, they bought this huge house back, you know, in the beginning when Rev Run was, like, big and popping. But, like, a lot of the stuff on the inside of their house needed to be updated. So, like, each episode was them, like, updating and renovating a different portion of their house. So I saw that one.
Well, no, that's not. This show is like, to me, it's like Ron's house, but acting. Like, not the reality thing. Like, it is. Look for the trailer.
Let me get it. I'm definitely looking into it. But, like, you have Rev Ron, who is a minister, and, you know, he, I'm sure, has these high expectations for his kids. And here he has his oldest son, you know, was arrested and, you know, smoking the tweens and weeds. And then you have Angela, who was very promising, keeping the virginity. And then
I don't think she was.
I was rooting for her. And yeah, she ended up losing it to a scammer and then got a baby and all of this other stuff.
You think
she lost it before that and like was just keeping it low?
So Angela is a Virgo.
Freak Jones.
And I'm not saying that she wasn't a virgin for well into her adulthood, but she is saying that she lost, and again, this can happen. I just don't believe that shit happened to her. So she is saying that the first time she had sex, she ended up pregnant.
All right, like Steph Curry ever. With the on point shot. Listen, take my first shot and I made it.
Let me tell you. And the thing is, I want to believe her because I know that the first time that I had sex with my daughter's father, my daughter was created. But I also wasn't a virgin. So I'm not, it wasn't the double whammy. It wasn't like niggas was really like, come on, bitch. Like, it's already hard for people to understand that, like, we literally had sex one time and got pregnant. But
lose your virginity and get pregnant. You're not buying it. You need receipts.
I feel like pressure was placed on those mm-hmm. children, especially after JoJo. He got arrested and he ended up having a baby out of wedlock. And then Vanessa had a baby out of wedlock. And so Angela had to hold on to that waiting for marriage type thing. And she just ended up getting caught by getting pregnant. I just don't believe that she was a virgin with that scammer dude.
Yeah.
That's just me. But you know, go ahead, girl. I get it. Nah, I wasn't. I was side-eyeing her like, bitch, I'm a Virgo too. I know what it is. You probably was getting
look,
that.
And with a body like that, I know everybody was shooting a shot because, look, her body is lit. So I know they was like, sweetheart.
I want to say one of them said, Bow Wow, his dumb ass. You know, he always got something to say. Bow Wow, I want to say that he is. Okay, you got me. You're right.
I don't know. He was lying about an airplane and the picture was on Google. So, I don't know. He seems like the corny type.
You're right.
But then even on, like, other people as well on that show on Growing Up Hip Hop, you look at Boogie, which is Dame Dash's son. And, you know, Dame came from the streets. Like, he did a lot of stuff that, like, he has said, like, I want my son to be like nice, suburban, good kid, not to go through the stuff that I went through. And he feels like, he stated on the show that he kind of low-key feels like it's his karma because he used to sell drugs. And here he is, he had a son that actually was battling with a drug and alcohol addiction. He went to rehab and watching the show and following them on Instagram and stuff, it seems like he's clean because things like he don't even really want to have no relationship till he work it out and get himself together. But it seems like they've had a kumbaya. He's appearing to be clean, which I'm happy for. But I'm sure Dame had other expectations for him. I mean, he's still doing music and stuff like that. And he also started a clothing line. So I'm sure he's proud of him. But I'm sure it wasn't his vision to, like, you know, have his son dabble in that.
Dame is the perfect example of what I was talking about with my father. Like, my father was not as bad as Dame, but, like, Dame's delivery
it's super harsh
in all that he does. Like, and everything that he does, his delivery is just harsh. So the way he would talk to his son would be like, nigga, fuck you. And I understood it. Like, I understood, like, because, A, you're coming at me, like, I get it. You're my dad and all that good stuff. But like,
right.
Come on, son. You are really talking that you're talking
like you're not reaching crazy. Me.
And then again, like you have these high expectations for me and you haven't even like fully cleaned yourself up. Like, how can you sit here and have a problem with me? And I'm not on his side, but how can you have a problem with me doing drugs right. when you used to sell drugs? Like, and you boasted about it in the past, like, and look at how you turned out. And I think that's another thing with children too. Like, they don't know that in between stage, like going back to my daughter, she's like, well, you had a baby young, but look at you now. And I'm thinking,
it was not fun. It was not easy.
I was homeless.
I do not want you to go through what I went through to come out on the other end. Like, I want you to bypass all of this. Like, take the roundabout, please.
Sometimes it's that in between. They just see, you know, where you at right now. So with Boogie, he's probably just looking like, and he's in a, you know, in California and the Hollywood scene where everybody's probably doing drugs. And it's probably a couple of people that do them and they're still functioning addicts and all that other good stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. That one is complicated, but Dame ass is just
harsh. Yeah, he definitely has no filter. He needs to learn how to soften it up. I just don't think he knows how to. I guess it's literally just his personality. He's
just tough
for sure.
the definition.
Another one. God bless the dead. But
please say it.
I'm going to get to, I think, ooh, who you think I'm going to, but I'm going to go there. But I was talking about like Whitney Houston. You know, her mom, Sissy Houston, was this successful gospel singer. Her daughter, you know, had an amazing voice and had a good career. But I'm sure she didn't see her daughter going down the path of, you know, getting into drugs. She married Bobby Brown. They got together, had Bobby Christina. And then I'm sure Bobby and Whitney had big plans for Bobby Christina. And she kind of went down the same path that her mom went through tragically. And both of them passed away. But I know that's another situation. It's like, I'm sure there were certain expectations in that family that wasn't met. I'm not going to go too into it because I don't like talking about, you know, people that aren't here. But...
Well, I was going to say something. Because what I had heard was that Whitney mama was placing a little bit too many expectations on her. And so that whole squeaky clean image of Whitney was not who she really was. But because she had that image out there, she had to kind of live up to it. Because I don't know if you heard, like, I've been hearing it for years that Whitney was gay.
I was watching, like, either a biopic or something like that. And it was, like, her really, really close friend was. And Bobby wasn't happy with it. Like, he wasn't messing with her. And, like, some of the family didn't like her being around and stuff like that. I feel like it was, like, a show or a biopic that I saw that.
I heard that really she was with this girl, like, during the beginning of her career, and they kind of, like, deaded that or whatever. And so then, you know, she's in Hollywood, everybody's doing drugs, and then, like, she went the polar opposite and ended up with Bobby Brown, who was known to be, like, the bad boy. And, like, I feel like, from what I gather, like, she basically went out of her way to do the polar opposite of what was expected of her outside of her
the rebellion
career. Like, oh, yes. And that's what I feel like a lot of times. That's why with my daughter, I'm trying to be more like, what are your interests? Let's try to cultivate them. Let's steer you in a path so that your dreams can actually get you some money when you get older, because you don't want to be broke. But I'm not trying to force anything on her because I don't want her to rebel. I don't want it to seem like she has to be a certain way for us and then she ends up wilding out like I feel like I did, or like they say Whitney did.
You want to be more of allegedly a authoritative person where you're kind of directing her as opposed to a authoritarian.
Dictator.
Yeah, where you're like basically like controlling and like, look, this is what you're going to do. It's my standard, and like, this is what it's gonna be. Yeah, because like you said, that can really backfire, because if they're feeling too much pressure and they're being too controlling, they're like, look, I want to live my life, so you know what, F this, F what you expect from me, I'm about to do what I want to do. So it definitely can backfire. With You laughing like you know who I'm going to say. Who am I going to say?
Come on, let's talk about Egypt.
Yes.
Come on. Yep.
So.
Yep. With her dumb look, ass.
I just.
And her boyfriend had fake break. Okay, look. Go ahead, girl. Let's stay on topic.
Cannot with her. And I get it because Pep is such a hovering mom. But
don't have no damn rights.
Not to one piece. But I think with her being a hovering mom, she also tries to be too hard to be Egypt's friend. So it's like, it comes off confusing as a viewer, and maybe it's the editing. You know, they always say on reality shows, like, it's the editing. But it seems like one minute she's trying to be Egypt's friend, and the next minute she's just like this big mother bee that just like won't let her breathe. And I get it, like, but you're hovering so much that you're not even paying attention to your son, who's like begging for attention. But yeah, that's whole nother topic. This man is begging for his mother attention, and she's too much up Egypt's tail. So anyway, like, literally, they're trying to help her and be like, look, you want to do your career, you want to do like the bathing suit, the modern, whatever you're trying to do. Like, you literally have two parents that were in the industry that I'm sure have numerous connections, have been through stuff, and could help guide you and make you not make so many mistakes. And you listening to Sam with the fake dreads, that
I blame the parents. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
It's their fault. But go ahead.
No, explain. Why do you feel like it's the parents' fault?
Have you watched this show from the beginning, even when it was born?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody, not even just her parents, everybody babies her. They call her the baby of the show.
All the kids, all the castmates as well.
All the cast members. Yes. So it's like, my theory, Peppa and Tretch were wilding out in the 90s.
For sure.
And so they are hip to everything because they probably done everything. And so, like you said, they just extra protective, they hovering, they
right. Plank,
okay? Got her on super duper lockdown. So much so that, like, you're 17 years old and you haven't read your mom's book. Like,
look.
I was reading Zane books.
Man, you got a whole ass smartphone. How you gonna read your mom's book?
Like, what are you talking about? Like, they kept her so sheltered from the world that as soon as she turned
18,
she
got a piece of freedom.
She and wild out with the first.
So she's living with him. She's like, he does come off super controlling. Like, she's supposed to be getting her music career up off the ground, and he got 90% of himself on the song. He just like, look.
And it's not
at all. He looking at it like, look, this chick mom is Pep, her father is Tretch. I'm trying to do music. Like, maybe they can put me on. Like, I'm gonna act like I'm here. Like, I just don't, that relationship doesn't seem genuine to me. And then you say, I want to be grown, so let's just, maybe they'll take me serious and look at me as an adult. Because if I'm married, they can't say nothing. Ma'am, that is not the answer. Ma'am.
That is when you just, that's when you as a parent got to look back and be like, all right, so what am I doing that my child feels like she has to do this to me, it's like she wants respect and nobody is giving
because
it
like
to
you
her.
Said, they're still treating her as a baby and she's not grown, but she's becoming a grown woman. So she wants a certain freedom, which when kids get to certain milestones, you gotta gradually give them more freedoms. But if you're not giving them any, they just feel like not a caged animal, because she's not an animal, but it's like you need breathing room. You're just like, yo, get up off me. Like, I need to experience some stuff. You have to allow your kids to fail. And I think they're trying so hard not to allow her to fail.
But I feel, that's what I'm saying. I feel like up until this season, she was living with her mom. And then I feel like her mom's just like, okay, you're grown. You can go live on your own now without, like, as opposed to, like, gradually.
She,
like,
literally just kicked that bird up out the nest. Her wings ain't strong. She falling all the way to the ground. Like,
right. And then going back to what you were saying, as far as, like, this whole Sam situation, I know me, if my daughter moved out and then all of a sudden some bum was living with her, no, he got to get the fuck out. I don't care nothing about you being grown. He got to go. But she wants to be Egypt's friend at the same time. So she's not checking it until
too late. She's walking in the chapel.
You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ. I wanted to throw my remote control at my TV. Like,
Look, girl, growing up, hip-hop stresses me out. Like, I swear, I'll be yelling at them like, yo, what?
What? Shit don't make no sense. Like, this is what you want to do to get grown? Come and pay. Look, come on. Come on that older IRS.
Look, there's so many other things you can do to feel grown. Getting married is not it. Please.
Not.
Another one, which I'm sure you're not going to speak on because you don't watch it, but Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So,
ooh, I know you were headed there.
And I know you're not even touching this, but I'm sure Rob Kardashian Sr., the lawyer, God rest his soul, that if he were alive and his children were what they are now, well, let me say, it all ended well. But the beginning with Kim, and which this is a whole nother show as well. I feel like I don't condemn her for the sex tape because it's regular average Joes out here that's like doing way worse. I get it. But I do feel a certain kind of way about her mom kind of being like, well, like it's going to come out. So let's like flip it and make some money off this, blah, blah. Anyway, that's their whole thing. But it ended up working out. They all have successful businesses. They're all famous, making good money. But then we have Rob, which I'm sure...
The fat Rob?
I mean, fat, skinny, whichever Rob. He still wasn't doing shit.
I didn't know if you were still talking about Rob.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Talking about the son. Rob Kardashian, the living one. Here you have all of your sisters and your stepsisters. Like, literally, they all have different businesses, whether it's... makeup lines, fitness lines, doing Courtney does like the interior decorating stuff, supermodel Kendall, like all of them are doing stuff on in their own right to make money. And then you have Rob, who as far as I know, he just has a sock line and a baby by Black China. So I'm just confused, and I'm sure Kris Jenner is not the happiest mom in the world because I'm sure she is a momager. Like, she is the queen momager. Like, I mean, she didn't set her kids up, even in fucked up situations, for them to come out some kind of way with a lucrative ending. And I'm sure she has her son a path and vision, and I'm sure he's not meeting those standards, especially when you daggone knocked up your sister's ex's ex. I mean,
Rob is depressed. So
Rob has been depressed. He has for 10 seasons. I need him. They have a lot of money.
When you're rich, you can be depressed that long.
When you are rich, you have access to the best damn counselors there are. I need you to go and sit with them. Yeah. I need him to get us along.
I'm so.
I know.
Kardashians are just.
Ugh. I know.
That make my skin crawl.
But then you have positive, because I'm talking about all the ones that are not meeting up to, you know, expectations. You have Tina Lawson. My. She birthed out of her womb not only Solange, who is amazing, creative, lit, fashion forward, everything, Beyonce. You birthed them both, babe. Like, look, I am here. And I'm sure she had certain expectations because they started out, you know, upper middle class, because they weren't just middle class. They were like, you know, above just making it. And, you know, she had her own business. She had her little hair salon and, you know.
They gave up a lot for their kids' dreams.
For sure. But she also made them work for it. Like, they was out there performing in her salon for, you know, if this is what you want, you can have the practice. You're not about to go out here and make us look stupid. And her father did quit his corporate job to end up managing them and stuff like that. And it paid off. And both of them are litty. Also, Ice Cube, his son O'Shea Jr., because both of them named O'Shea. But I mean, his father was, I mean, even though he did go to college, I mean, he was the nigga out here talking about fuck the police and shit. And like, he was out here gangbanging and cussing out Dre and shit like that. And like, his son following his more positive footsteps. And he's also an actor and doing a damn good job, I might say.
And Ice Cube made him audition several times for that.
Yes. In that movie. He did not just give it to him. Yeah, he made him work for it and was like, you are going to audition like any other actor in this casting call. And I respect that because people would be like, oh, of course you're going to have your son play you. Like, nah, I'm going to have a good actor right. play me. And if it happened to be my son, then it is what it is. Which that you can tell the type of foundation or like stuff that he's instilling in his son. You know what I mean? They just have those type of,
right.
those type of expectations and on them. But yeah, I mean, there's different people that have expectations for their kids. We all do. We want them to be successful. But I mean, I think that you can't plan for everything and you just can't beat yourself up when your expectations do not come out exactly how you want them to be. We can give all the tools that we can to our children to be productive, successful adults and just guide them along the way and pick them up when they fall. Honestly, like, that's reality.
Well, Dad, if you didn't listen and you are tuning into these podcasts, let me just say, first of all, oof, Lord, if you're on the third one, you are a good man. But I know that I failed you.
Oh, don't say
up
that.
Until like 26.
I know he doesn't feel that way.
Nah, I feel like we had a conversation a few years ago and he was just like, yeah, like, I'm proud of you because a couple of years ago I didn't know what was happening and I was like, I was trying to stay afloat. Nigga. Where was you?
I was scratching and surviving. Good times. That's what I
thought you mean. You didn't know. I feel like he was so because you know I said I got accepted to all those colleges and I turned down some pretty good ones for a boy. So that was a huge disappointment for my father.
I'm sure, but I'm sure he is happy in the end on how you turned out and the amazing woman you are now.
I mean, toot, toot.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, toot. Luckily, my parents are not technologically, took a look at that. They are not that. So they are not hearing this podcast. And but I can let you know, I can speak for them and I can let you know that they are proud of me. I'm the youngest and I am holding them down. I love my brother for sure. And yeah, there are other joints out there. But I mean, pew, pew, pew. Everybody gonna die. Pew, pew. But no, I feel like, which you normally don't see, but like the youngest is the most responsible. Go figure, me being the most responsible. But anyway, I know they're proud of me and my mom tells me all the time how amazing I am and she don't know what she would do without me. So I'm lit and I know I met their expectations. Even if they feel like I don't, I'm going to go the rest of my life feeling like I do. And that is what it is. Well, anyway, that wraps up episode.
It does not wrap it up.
I'm rewinding. It doesn't wrap it up.
So really mm-hmm. quickly, in the same line of expectations, but nothing with parents. Mm-hmm. We have to have a moment for Nicki Minaj because I feel like she had expectations mm-hmm. and those expectations were not met. Mm. And so she is having a goddamn meltdown on internet. Mm. And I just want everybody to join together and pray for her. Because I'm tired of seeing this shit.
Look, it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
She is throwing a full grown ass woman tantrum. And it's not cute. It's not. Like,
Expectations.
And they weren't met. But you have to understand that you can't beat yourself up when your expectations don't come out how you plan. You just got to have a plan B, C, D, E, F, G.
Glory.
And on that note, with this glory, we will wrap up episode
wrap
3
it up.
For real. You are here with the Chatty Patties. That is THECHTTYPATTYS at yahoo.com. If you have any comments, you want to let us know how we doing, how bad you think we doing, which I know we're not, you can follow us on Twitter at the Chatty Patties. You can also follow us on Instagram. That's also the Chatty Patties. You can even go to our website and go to www.thechattypatties.com. It will have
And there you'll find every streaming service that we are on. Yep,
we are lit. We are growing and growing by the week. And you can find us on a lot of the major streaming services. Just go ahead to the website. It's the easiest way to find out all the links instead of trying to give you the link to every single platform. Just go to the website. It's some cute stuff. And we'll keep you updated. And we appreciate you for tuning in. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.